Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What was your reaction to the decision?
Yeah, I mean, I was upset, but I mean, you know, sometimes you gotta look at yourself and you know, make sure you're all the way ready. You know, hamstrings are a tough injury. It's a tough spot. So that's what it is.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Busy day. Christian Gonzalez may be back. We'll get to that coming up. Robert Kraft selling a portion of the Patriots, 8%. 5% to a guy whose kids bought the Playboy Mansion. The other 3%.
Good investment.
No, then clearly they know what they're doing. 3% goes to 6th Street.
Yeah, but I own the Playboy Mansion. Sweet. That's awesome, man.
You know Robert Kraft has got a couple of visits down there tied into the deal somehow. 3% is going to 6th Street,
yeah.
Who the Celtics, or who's also invested in the Celtics, which is interesting. None of it is going to Tom Brady, which
no.
We're frustrated about.
No.
The Red Sox, I think, with one more win and or Astros loss, can officially spike the football on the Rafael Devers trade. And oh, by the way, what an easy week it's been for the Red Sox. I did not expect that in the least. And Courtney Cox, we found out earlier today.
Congratulations.
Having a new WEEI baby around these parts, Keith.
There'll be a little Cox.
Just
running around.
Just a little one.
Bunch of profanity.
Just a little one. Which joined the club.
Yeah. Hey. Fitted on the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're both fathers, of course.
Right.
Is what we're talking about.
Also
yes,
what
yes,
I
yes, 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 yes.
Of course.
Our pal Matt, by the way, on Twitter mentioned, does that mean all the Celsius is now up for grabs? I imagine.
Oh,
if you're
probably can't touch
the stuff. Can't be drinking.
Yeah, the poison. That
Celsius.
Is Celsius.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So I imagine that's just.
Yeah.
Whatever's in there is now.
Up for grabs?
I would.
No Tylenol, no Celsius.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice.
Yeah.
Shame on me. So,
it's
yeah,
all
I'm not,
a test.
Not going near that.
Was there anything?
Not going to touch it.
Was there anything that Katie forced you to cut out when she was pregnant?
Oh, probably bad jokes. No, I don't think so.
I heard Greg asking Courtney this.
Oh, really, like drinking?
Like Santo, is he not drinking? She's like, oh, no, he's drinking.
Yeah. Oh, I drank quite a bit.
I did plenty of drinking.
But I probably didn't, like, you know, doing a lot in front of her, being like, hey, look at me slamming down these great drinks.
Yeah.
I probably was like more sneaky drinking.
The only
brown
thing.
Brown paper bag in it.
Yeah.
The only thing.
I had an old neighbor that used to do that.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. He's long dead. But there was a guy he would like come out in the middle of the summertime. He had like vodka stored away like in his car. And I'd like, be out there with the dog and like pretending like I didn't see him. And he'd be like taking little rips of it and then like head back in.
Well, you know.
Poor guy.
It's America.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of this happened with you, Billy. Kat didn't let me, I couldn't brew coffee in the house for a while.
Really? Oh, the smell?
Well, she claimed the smell. I feel like
she just hated you.
I can't have any caffeine. That's my conspiracy theory.
There's nothing I can really think of.
Yeah.
Except for like, she, you know, obviously you guys know how it is. You can't have sushi. She wanted an Italian sub more than anything, and you can't have that.
Yeah, like a deli
so
meats
me,
or whatever,
like,
yeah, you can't
have
that.
Not being able to
have
an Italian sub for 9 months.
Oh, so you cut those out?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good man right there.
I'd be sneaky eating.
Sneaky out of my breath
and coming out of my skin.
So you sure you didn't have any Italian subs with hots?
Yeah. All of a sudden she
not me.
All of a sudden she couldn't smell coffee. I'm like, great.
Couldn't smell coffee.
I tried drinking tea for a while. It wasn't for me.
Wow.
I don't think I dealt with any kind of smells or anything that bothered her or anything.
The thought of right now as a grown adult person not having coffee or beer for 9 months is insane.
Yeah,
I don't think I could do either one.
I don't. I'm positive I couldn't.
Nine months.
Nine days.
9 minutes.
I think I did something like almost 2 months without coffee, and it was
2 months.
Yeah, I had plenty of caffeine. I had drank tea.
Sick brag,
it
bro.
Was 2 months without coffee. It was brutal.
That's gotta
honestly
be tough.
It's a bigger sacrifice than having the kid.
Yeah,
that's a bigger. I made a bigger sacrifice. If you cut out alcohol for 9 months,
don't think so.
Greater sacrifice somehow.
It'd be the most sacrifice I could ever give up.
Also, she said you couldn't brew coffee in the house. She didn't say you couldn't go get coffee.
Yeah, you wouldn't have coffee like at work.
No, it was so.
You must have.
Did I? I don't think I did.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I did. I'm like, no, I don't want to have it at night and then not, and then the next morning want coffee and I can't even make it.
Hmm. So would you, when you were working the night show, would you drink coffee in the morning, like when you got up, and then also have a coffee in the morning?
I'd drink coffee all day when I was working at night. Yeah. I mean,
I'd wake up in the middle of the night, have a few more coffees, back to sleep.
Some mainlining coffee right into my veins all day long.
Okay.
That's all I was doing.
I got it.
So anyways, that's the news here today at WEEI. A busy day on Jones and Keefe. We'll talk to Bradfo coming up at 12:30. We have a key for madness for you at 12:45, so stay tuned for it. We'll get back into Christian Gonzalez in a bit as well. But, Keith, every Thursday at high noon, we like to go on the clock. This week, we're going to tell you how the Patriots can beat the Carolina Panthers in just 60 seconds. I'll take first ups here. I think you had...
You're putting me on ice.
I think, yeah, we'll put you on ice.
That's fine.
We'll give you the home ups.
I'll
there.
Warm up in the bullpen while you do your minute.
If you could. So, Nick, let's go on the clock. All right, here's how the Patriots are going to beat the Panthers in just 60 seconds. I'm starting with the personnel. Ramondre Stevenson, too many fumbles, as you know, 2 last week, 7 last year. Time to sit down and learn a lesson. Take a week off. Maybe you can play next week against the Bills. I'm also sitting down Pop Douglas. I would cut him. I don't think the Patriots are going to do that. So you can sit right next to your pal Ramondre. Efton Chisholm, you're up, but you're probably not on the field because I'm streamlining targets to Stephon Diggs and Hunter Henry. I want to focus more of the offense on those two this week. When I'm running, I can run all over this Carolina team. Last year, they allowed the most rush yards in the NFL, worst in 2024, one of the worst run defenses of all time. They're bad again this year. And I'm using Travion Henderson. What'd you draft him for at 38 if you're not going to use him in a spot like this? Against Carolina, you can't get penalized. 27 of them, too many, through 3 weeks. Clean that up. And finally, let Carolina be Carolina. Let Bryce Young be Bryce Young. They want to lose the game. And then you're 2-2 going into Buffalo next week. So that's my process to beat the Carolina Panthers in just 60 seconds.
All right.
Keith, you're next up.
All right, first thing I do is I tell the team the game starts at 12:30 because every home game they have showed up very late. They weren't prepared to go. So if they think it's at 12:30 by 1 o'clock, they should be ready to go. Similar to you, I'm going to sit Ramondre Stevenson. He's going to be inactive for the game. He can watch and see how players hold on to the ball. Pop Douglas also is going to sit out this week, but he is going to play an important role in practice because Pop Douglas is going to be the scout team quarterback because Bryce Young, also a little bitty guy, and you want to make sure that Harold Landry and Milt Williams can see little Bryce Young behind that big offensive line. So I'm going to have Pop Douglas sort of emulate that throughout practice. It's going to be a big Travion Henderson week. He should be able to run on the Carolina Panthers, who are not very good. And as long as you don't turn the ball over 5 times, you're going to beat the Carolina Panthers. 2 turnovers or less, you still beat the Carolina Panthers. Also, I want to see Steph Diggs more involved in the offense. I think they're going to be able to throw on Carolina as well. And Steph Diggs has been pretty quiet the last couple of games.
Oh, so you're still giving them 2 turnovers this week.
Yeah.
2 turnovers, you still beat Carolina.
Carolina's pretty bad.
Carolina's pretty bad.
They forced a couple turnovers last week and also scored off of those. This was one of those weird games we talked about on Monday where Carolina got outgained by Atlanta by over 100 yards. And yet they won the game 30-0.
100 yards passing.
100 yards passing. They won 30-0.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very strange.
That's an NFC wildcard team, according to Jones 3 weeks ago.
Some are
Carolina
saying that.
Panthers, yes.
But they're 1-2. I didn't even mention in that minute, Tet McMillan, who's off to a good start. You know, we talked a lot about him in the pre-draft process, probably the top receiver, depending on how you felt about Travis Hunter. 14 catches, 216 yards so far this season. Far and away, their leading receiver didn't practice yesterday. So if he can't go, they have nobody. And on offense,
you don't like Hunter Renfro?
I don't.
Xavier Leggett, I think, is also hurt.
Yep,
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, who else would they throw to?
They have nobody.
I mean, he stinks anyway, yeah, so they're not missing much.
I mean, Chuba Hubbard, who's always the guy you'd remember when you'd replace like Christian McCaffrey or whatever, and he's like, oh, he's not bad. So Chuba Hubbard's their leading rusher. He's also their third leading receiver. So, I mean, if you take Chuba Hubbard away, I mean, I don't know how Carolina even scores.
Okay. Carolina, by the way, last year gave up 180 rush yards a game. Over 5 yards a pop, 5.2. Those are historically bad.
They gave up 200 right off the rip week one.
They've been a little better this year. Yeah, who ran out? The Jags ran all over them.
They were better in week two against Arizona, actually, against the run. But then against Atlanta, it was just like one of those weird games.
They're still giving up 140 a game, which is like 24th, 25th in the league. They're 30th in yards. They're actually giving up more per carry than a year ago, 5.4, wow. Although the Bears and Bills are worse. So, bad run defense. You should be able to run on them. It shouldn't matter who the running back is as long as they hold on to the ball. That's how you beat the Carolina Panthers in just 60 seconds. If you have a plan, you can discuss at 617-779-7937. We'll put you on the clock. You get 30 seconds. We get 60.
30? No, that's fair.
You get 30.
You can still beat the Panthers in 30 seconds.
To tell us how the Pats can beat the Panthers. Meanwhile, Christian Gonzalez, he was led to this question a little bit.
A little bit.
Rochi.
Oh, Roach.
Led to the question just a little bit.
It was classic good cop, bad cop. There happened to be no bad cop there, so it was just good cop.
Where are the bad cops? Because we're the only people wondering what's going on with Christian Gonzalez hamstring, meaning us on the radio side. The beat writers don't wonder that.
No, no.
And so they want to blame the big bad sports talk radio people, TV talking heads, things like this. Here's the exchange with Gonzalez yesterday.
Did you express to him that you wanted to play?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, it's... You know, I never don't want to play. So I mean that narrative that's out there is I don't know where people get it from. But I mean, all I want to do is play football. So I mean, we talked about it and we came up to a decision, and that's what it is.
I know you guys tend to block out the outside noise, but how disappointing was it for you to hear that narrative?
I mean, it didn't really disappoint me. I mean, it's from a lot of people that have never stepped foot on a football field, so it didn't really disappoint me too much.
Okay.
So you know what also is in there is that Mike Vrabel said it was his decision. Gonzalez says, we made the decision.
Oh, good point. I took that as, you're right, that is exactly what he said. I took that as, I always want to play football, I wanted to be out there, but you're right, he did say we made the decision.
But there's also a little bit of a semantic game that he can play, like, I want to play, but right now I can't. First part is, I want to play.
That's true.
So when you're asked, do you want to play? Every single guy in the locker room wants to play. Some are more willing to come back even if they're not 100%. So like he can still say, of course I wanted to play. And I told Vrabel, I want to play, but I can't.
Rafael Devers can say he wants to play in the field. And, you know, he would have happily done it when he was with the Giants. And I don't always necessarily believe that he would have done that in Boston. So these guys can say whatever they want. He did volunteer the media narrative. That wasn't asked to him. He volunteered it in the first portion there, and then they circled back. Rochi again, very accusatory.
Mm-hmm.
How disappointing. How disappointed were you?
You disappointed.
About this awful narrative about you. It's an 8-week hamstring injury.
Yep, it's
which,
long.
Unless you tore the thing off the bone, is borderline unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do have one that's going to set you back that long, you've either had a setback, which Burt Breer said he did not. Gonzalez, when he's been asked point blank, won't answer that question. Yeah. So I'm choosing to believe there was no setback. And if it was that bad initially, A, Jordan Schultz had a report he'd be back week one. That was the bad report.
Yeah, he was not.
B, the team would have put him on IR. They did none of those things. None of them. So I think it's a fair narrative. He still hasn't played in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't feel bad whatsoever about questioning if he wants to play, questioning if he's doing everything to get back out there. Vrabel's the one who brought up the contract even before he got hurt. So that puts the contract on the table as well. I don't feel bad about any of it. If he goes out there and performs at a high level for 14 games, I'll stand down. I'll be wrong about it. That's okay. But I think it was a fair thing to wonder in the meantime, and I'm not done wondering about it. Let's see, A, if he plays this weekend, and B, does he look like himself? Is he sticking his nose in there and tackling, or is he making Sauce Gardner-style quote-unquote business decisions?
Right.
So I don't think it's put to bed just because, you know, he took a shot at the media, which is fair. I never stepped on a football field and played. And so it's a fair criticism from him, but just because he punched back a little bit, now what? We all have to feel bad, and that was a bad narrative?
Nobody's feeling bad. And let's see if he plays and how much he plays, because you could also make the case if he plays, great. Then that's why you didn't put him on IR, because you didn't want to force him to miss four games. He at least got one of those games in. But if he goes out there and plays 20% of the snaps, they're like, oh, we're just kind of like working him into the... Then you probably should have just put him on IR. It would have been better off for your roster. The team, by not putting him on IR, is at least telling everybody they expected him back sooner than he's been. And so whether there's a setback or not, it doesn't matter. He's entering 8 weeks where we haven't seen him. I guess last week we saw him. So 7 weeks we didn't see him. Then he comes back and practices, but doesn't play in the game. But the way he answered these questions and the way Vrabel answered the questions yesterday, there would have to be a real setback for him not to play on Sunday, is how I read it now.
I also think he's playing on Sunday now. And again, let's just watch. Mike Evans to me is a real good hamstring injury to watch. He just had it. Mm-hmm. It just happened. He's had chronic hamstring issues throughout his career. So this is a guy who knows how to deal with a hamstring and doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
And different players heal differently. Let's see. Evans hasn't even been ruled out this week yet. I'm assuming he won't play for a couple of weeks.
I thought he said he's missed a month.
No, I'm just saying.
They said 3 to 4 weeks, but
he hasn't been ruled out, is all I'm saying. I don't think he's going to play, but they haven't ruled him out yet. And maybe he misses a month. That sounds about right. 3-4 weeks sounds about right.
Right.
Is he going to miss eight? This is a guy with
I don't think he's going to miss eight.
This guy with some of the worst hamstrings of all time. He constantly misses with hamstring injuries. Yeah. So, I don't know. I still think something is up there. But if Gonzalez comes back and plays at a high level, he'll shut everybody up.
Oh, it'd be great.
Myself included.
Mm-hmm.
Meantime, the big story today with the Patriots off the field is that Robert Kraft is selling a minority stake of the team valued at $9 billion. So it's going to be $720 million, is that 8%. 5% of that is to, again, Dean Metropoulos.
Dean Metropoulos, definitely a real name.
Who's known for Hostess Brands
and
Pabst. Nice. And his two sons buying the Playboy Mansion for $100 million.
Well, they don't give away a blue ribbon for a not first-place beer.
No, that's true. And we were unaware of the Playboy Mansion purchase until Ken came screaming down the hall, letting us know about that. Mm-hmm. So good job there.
Yep. Sitting on a gold mine out there.
The other 3% goes to Sixth Street Partners, which, if that name sounds familiar, they bought a portion of the Celtics. They also own a portion of the Spurs, FC Barcelona, among other sports franchises. That is not Bill Chisholm's company. But Bill Chisholm sold a portion of the Celtics to Sixth Street in their round of money raising. So $9 billion valuation. That's less, by the way, than the chunk that the Giants sold earlier this offseason. Giants were valued at $10 billion. So that's where we're at on that sale. And I think, whatever, Robert Kraft still owns 92% of the Patriots. The Kraft family still owns 92% of the Patriots. As a day-to-day fan, I don't think there's a massive reason to care about that. The only thing that bothers me is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Brady's sitting there at the Raiders game, Monday Night Football, headset on. And we said then, wouldn't it have been cool if Brady were doing that for the Patriots and not for the Raiders? And we asked Tom Curran about it a couple of weeks ago when he joined us, and Curran said, well, they're not going to take a bad deal on their team, which I don't really care about. A $9 billion valuation. It's a great business decision,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Kraft's allowed to do it. It's America. Capitalism. Good for him. But as a fan, I wish he sold that portion to Brady.
Yeah.
And not only Keith, do you think it's not about just the best business deal that he could have made? You think there's another factor?
Well, I also think Tom Brady becomes the face once again of the franchise. And anytime you're talking about the team and then even the ownership aspect of it, or, you know, if the team happens to have a lot of success, who's the first person you're going to go to? He becomes the star of it. And I think, you know, a lot of these owners still really very much like the attention that they get with their teams. And you wouldn't get as much attention if Tom Brady was even just a 3% owner of the team. Because, yeah, the idea of them just selling it is really not all that shocking, because the days of one person owning an entire sports franchise is rarer and rarer by the day. Even these legendary, the Giants, for example. We'll spin off a few percentages here and there, and this, and they move it all around. But it was one of the reasons why you're like, all right, well, maybe Tom Brady doesn't part on the Patriots and he has to go part on the Raiders, because maybe Kraft just doesn't want to do that. And you're like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to do that.
It's a family
business.
It's your
money. Do whatever you want.
It's a family business. We're going to keep it in the family.
But then a few weeks after
call Tom Brady one of your sons, but whatever.
And a few weeks after giving the guy a statue, the first of its kind outside of Gillette Stadium, and we've had, I think, four different Tom Brady nights already or more.
Yeah, he was there for the opener against the Eagles a few
years
ago.
Jersey retirement.
He had Brady night. Jersey retirement.
I include the roast, but that's not really offensive. Yeah, he's had a bunch. And they're probably looking for another one. He'll be back for some other, to honor another one of the championship teams. It seems like an easy connection, but maybe you wouldn't make quite as many millions, right? Because maybe Brady can't afford what Sixth Street can afford, I guess.
So did Robert Kraft make a good business decision? I'm sure he did. I mean, I would borderline guarantee he made a great, exceptional, awesome business deal, exceptionally awesome business deal that he can brag about to Jerry Jones and the Mara family and everybody else. And great, in the owner's club with the 31 other owners, Green Bay's publicly owned. The 31, he can thump his chest and talk about what a great deal he got, and, you know, they can have some whiskey and talk about it. Great. Awesome for them. As a fan, that does zero for me. Brady would have done something. And I don't care that Kraft, who's already cleaned up on the Patriots. He bought them for $170 million. They're now valued at over $9 billion.
So I'm saying, so like whatever.
I don't give two craps about the deal he got. I wish he sold the portion to his fifth son, as he calls him, Brady. And I think there'd be a PR win there that isn't just about dollars and cents. I think there'd be a PR win there where maybe people start trusting the organization a little bit more, or at least there's a little more belief in the organization, which is low these days. But Keith, maybe his bank account couldn't handle it, or maybe, as you said, his ego couldn't handle it. Neither of which, to me, is a great reason.
No, I agree. Especially when, you know, whatever Tom Brady bought in with the Raiders, whatever the money was and whatever the percentage was, you couldn't have given him somewhat of a similar deal. And even if, like, all right, it's less than that. Because even if he's like a 1% owner of the team, it's still Tom Brady, owner of the Patriots. Everywhere he goes, Tom Brady, owner of the Patriots, this, that, and the other thing. And, like, he also wouldn't that pay for itself in the long run?
You'd think. He also doesn't need, right, being
like associated with them and not the Raiders. So everything you get with Tom Brady, now you kind of can skip past the Bucs years a little bit.
Yes.
Because he's always, oh, forever a Patriot. Like, oh, yeah, that's kind of now he is.
So great point. And, you know, again, he's selling 8% of the team. Sixth Street is buying 3%.
Yeah.
So it's not, Brady didn't need $720 million. That's the whole 8% combined.
Yeah, right.
He could have given the 3%. I don't care what percentage he gave to Brady. I wish Brady were involved here.
With Giselle, he probably could have afforded it. Without Giselle, maybe less so.
That's true.
Yeah.
She's like, you're buying what?
Yeah.
And alimony payments through the roof. So anyway, how do you feel about that? You can discuss. It's 617-779-7937. A lot going on here today on Jones and Keefe. We got a Keefe for Madness for you at 1245. Keep an eye at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We'll give you our full 60-second plans to beat the Panthers if you missed that when we went on the clock earlier this hour. And on the way next, it's normally 11:30, but Rob Bradford joins us at, 12:30, less than 10 minutes from now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We're joined every Thursday by Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Rob Bradford, how are we doing this week?
Let me tell you, the exchange rate of yelling McFarland in Canada is outstanding.
They love
even
it.
More powerful. Wow. The best.
I thought they just powered everything by wind power up there. I wasn't sure how they did that north of the border.
Wind power and Molson.
Ooh, that does sound good.
Dead beavers and things like that. I thought is what they were doing. Anyway, Red Sox are 2-for-2 in Toronto. I said on Monday or Tuesday, I thought this is going to be 6 days from hell. I thought this is going to be like a nightmare, white knuckle, try to back your way into the playoffs on the last day of the year. I thought it was going to be stressful. And it turns out it's been pretty smooth sailing for the Red Sox so far.
It's amazing what you do when you get hits. You know, it's crazy. And I think that that's been, to me, the biggest thing. Is that they've had more guys and runners in scoring position than any team in baseball over the last week. And now, like, they aren't driving them all in. But it's not terrible. And they're moving the line a little bit more. They pop up a few dingers yesterday, which is a nice surprise for them. And then on top of it all, I mean, I think if you had to say what has been the biggest difference maker for this team over the course of this road trip, it's Masa Yoshida, the guy that we thought, oh, you know, it was a waste of time. You're not even going to play him, whatever it is. But we also were saying when Roman Anthony got hurt, at least I was, that this is the guy who has to step up because he hit from the left side. You need that bat. You need to some replace Roman Anthony somehow, some way. So you got Yoshida. You got Abreu back, the guy who dominates Little League plays, you know, throwing for right field to get first base, to guys get out at first base. Which, by the way, like, Kirk, what are you doing? Like, I watched him the at-bat before.
Oh, I know.
He
grounded out. He made it like a third of the way to first. I know the exact play you're talking about. I said to my wife, I'm like, yeah. I can't believe this guy's so slow.
He's gotta check
and then
out,
he got
maybe.
Thrown out at first a couple innings later.
He sure did.
Wild.
Right. And that's what I think. I'm like, it's like, okay, I know you're slow, but in that case, you gotta try a little bit. Listen, I'm slow. I try. So
it's an effort thing. I'm fast, so I don't know.
Joe doesn't know what it's like.
I don't understand what it's like. Yeah.
Really?
Apparently, right.
But anyway,
fast.
I would just say that. It's that you have those two guys back. That's made an enormous difference. And I think also they're settling into sort of, they know, like, Cora knows what he has. And, you know, I asked him that. I said, hey, is it kind of weird? You go in the last week, you're still trying to figure out what everybody can do. And I think he sort of laughed at me and said, you know, that's not really the case. But I do think it's the case. I think that, you know, whether you have these young pitchers, you know, we thought a week ago, he thought Peyton Tolley might be an answer. And he's not an answer right now. You don't know how long these stars are going to go. You didn't have it locked in terms of the lineup. But I think you do a lot more than you did when you went on this road trip. And I think that's a huge, huge reason why they're winning.
All right, Rob, I don't want to get you into trouble, but I know you have an American League Cy Young Award vote.
You have a Cy Young vote
this year.
Nice.
I'll ask it this way. How strong a case does Garrett Crochet have to win the whole thing?
Wow. I mean, this is I feel like I'm going to be put on the BBWA court of law here.
Oh, man.
Brought in.
You
I'm
imagine?
Be brought in. You don't,
blindfolded.
By the way, you don't want, you don't want to see that. That's like on a remote island somewhere. No, you don't want to see that.
Sean's using a wig, a white one, a white powder one.
Yeah, the gavel.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All I can think of is that James Bond film where they take him to the island with, you know, out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they're shooting things off his head, or he's shooting. I don't know. It's very well phrased, as always. There's a reason why I could go back to the reasons why the Red Sox are winning. You know, you don't focus on Lucas Giolito. I think one of the biggest things is the dork bump the Red Sox have gotten from having a player on your podcast.
Agreed.
I mean, I think that's that's science. That's just science.
He hasn't been able to stand up on the mound really since that happened. I hate to correlate the two,
you came through when they needed him to.
He was good enough
2 days ago.
It's not the individual. It's the overall team accomplishment.
There it is. That's true.
Everyone in that clubhouse was buzzing about that interview, and it was good vibes.
That's right. We're big on vibes.
So how strong a case did Garrett Crochet have? I think he has a very, very strong case. And I think that obviously it's kind of sucks that when you have to go down to these last starts to decide this sort of thing, and usually you don't. I mean, honestly, you don't. A lot of people think, oh, well, you got to wait till the very end. Usually you don't. I think in this case you do. It's that close between him and Schuble. But I think that our guy Sammy from Playtest, he had a really, really interesting tweet earlier today about sort of basically like some stats that said when it counts the most, how is Crochet? And Crochet has the upper hand when it comes to that. So that was pretty interesting to me. But other than that, I would just say, yeah, he has a very strong case.
Yeah, because I would just quickly say if it goes to the ERA leader every year, then you wouldn't vote. Or if it goes to like the WAR leader, like you don't even vote.
What's the point?
Like, I just look at Crochet, and even though he wasn't amazing in September, he was fantastic last night when he needed to be. More innings than Schuble, more Ks than Schuble, more wins than Schuble. I would go with Crochet as my number one. Schuble a close second. Awesome season once again for Schuble, but yeah, I think some of those metrics that you mentioned too, like when they need it the most or late in games and things like that, he's stood out. But anyway, that'd be my vote.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear a word you just said. I just muted you. So.
I hope you're listening. I would let you know that if your Cy Young vote is ever for sale, Keith and I are interested.
No, we'll take it.
In purchasing.
We'll take it.
But I just want you to know that. Red Sox, we don't know who they're going to play, Rob. Because so many things can still happen, and they haven't even officially clinched, but the magic number is one, so I think it's safe to start speculating. Is there a team they should want? Is there a team they should want to avoid at all costs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think that they're going to play either Toronto or the Yankees. Let's be realistic about this. And they could actually end up playing Cleveland, which everyone will say, oh, that's a good draw. I don't know about that. And it's not only because they're winning like every single game. It's because the reason they're winning every single game is this insane pitching. And I think that one of the Red Sox things the Red Sox are going to have to prove themselves when they go up against elite pitchers, what they're able to do. Not Max Scherzer, but elite pitchers. And even not even Gosman. I mean, Gosman's been on good run, but you're talking about Cleveland. This has just a wave of starters and relievers, and that's why they're winning all the time. I would say right now, and maybe it's recency bias, it is Toronto. Because I think one of the things watching Toronto is that they might not have that alpha pitcher that is going to scare you. And also, not having Bo Bichette is a huge thing for them. You guys see their lineup. It's not nearly the same. They don't have that great a lineup. They make a lot of contact, but they don't have that great a lineup. And so I think to answer your question, I think right now, again, maybe it's because recency bias, maybe because I'm standing like two feet from the place that they're like building the mound right now. But I would say the Blue Jays.
My guy Lucas Giolito is 5 innings away from 150 for the season.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, which would bump it up a $250,000 incentive. He's currently scheduled to pitch the last game of the season. Now, there's a great chance they've already clinched at that point, and maybe they might not even be able to move up or down even at that point. What do you think they do with that? Do they keep him on regular rest and like have him start, or do they say, hey, let's just save him full go, extra rest for the playoffs, but also trying to figure out this incentive thing?
Yeah, it's one of the things that I'm anxious to get the answer to, and then as soon as we get the answer to when he's going to pitch, I'm going to run up to him and say, number one, what's your favorite baseball movie? Number two, have they given you $250,000? Yeah. So I think that to me, you tell me if you agree. I mean, to me, it doesn't, if they don't have anything to play for, it doesn't make the sense to pitch him, because if you pitch him, then you're sort of sacrificing potentially a game three in the wild card. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me to pitch him at all, unless you absolutely need him. And if you do pitch him, then, okay, well, you just want him to get his work in. Maybe you just want to throw a couple innings. Well, that's not going to get you to 5 innings. So I am really anxious to see if the Red Sox would just float him that bonus.
Yeah.
That's what they should do.
They really should.
That's what they should do. Like, we don't need you in the final outing, assuming that they've already clinched, yeah. And they should just give him the money. Like, that's exactly what they should do.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I don't think, you know, they're cheap in that way. And you know, I go back, this is way, way back.
They got lots of extra money hanging out from Devers.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, it's floating all over the place. It's great. It's like under every rock. It's like a scavenger hunt, the Devers money. But, you know, you go way, way back, a game, Steve Avery. I don't know if you guys remember that, where I think it was Jimmy Williams who pitched him, and Duquette was pissed because, you know, all he had to do was to not pitch him in this meaningless game. He pitched him, he got his bonus. But there's stories like that all the time. I think that Giolito, because of, once again, because his brand has never been hotter, and if they did him dirty, there'd be a huge, huge, you don't want to get the dork people mad at you.
Oh, they'd hear about it.
No,
they
would
hear about it.
No.
Well, Rob Bradford, as always, we appreciate the time. Sounds like we'll be talking to you into October as well with the Red Sox there. Magic number down to one. They could have already wrapped up a spot by the time they get on the field tonight. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, can I tell you my great travel, my travel thing today?
It's please.
Great. Just 2 seconds.
Okay. Take the over on that.
This is, yeah, okay. But I'll do my best. So there's a good chance they come back from Toronto next week, right? Getting back to Toronto puts a pretty big dent in the baseballs and boring travel budget because, you know, it's going to Toronto. But what
Yeah, sure.
You'd sold a bunch of hats and that's how you funded it. Maybe. But I actually was going to fly out today, but I got the rare, hey, does anyone want to cancel their flight? Bump it till tomorrow. So I'm like, yeah, I do. Yeah, I want to get the money. Yeah, I want to get the credit. And yeah, I want to stay for today, which is going to be the clincher. Everybody wins. So anyway, nobody cares about that.
No, I do. I love that.
It was a very insightful 2 seconds. We appreciate it.
Any
there, Bradville.
Story where yeah. someone's saving money, I'm in on it. I absolutely yeah. love that.
Good. Nice. All right.
All right, guys.
Rob, we'll talk Thank to you next you. Week. Thank you so much.
I'll see you. Bye. Okay.
Bye-bye. Do you think we got his vote? Do you think we swayed him to crochet? No, I don't know if
I think
he
broke him down. Now, he didn't want to cop to it on the air.
Say, but although think, he could maybe.
I think he wore him down to the nubs there. Yeah,
should
I
he?
Think, I think you got him. Yeah.
You think he'll publicly announce his AL Cy Young vote on our show?
He should.
Yeah.
No, he definitely should.
He definitely
Whole
should.
Whole ballot. So how does that work? They only get to
Five,
vote on
maybe?
One
or
no,
three.
But, no, but you only get to vote on like one award.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It rotates. So I think this year he has AL Cy Young.
So he can't vote on AL MVP, but he gets to vote on AL Cy Young.
I believe that's how it works. Yeah, there's so many writers.
That's so dumb. That's so dumb. Because
you
that
get two per market. Well, I guess each market's probably a little bit different, but Boston probably has enough to go around.
None of what they do makes sense.
No,
none of it. All apologies
no.
to Rob.
Scott Rolen's in the Hall of Fame, so no, they don't know what they're doing.
Like, why? So you cover baseball all year,
yeah.
And you get one award to vote on at the end of the year. You yeah, can't even vote on all of them? Even yeah. just like, maybe you shouldn't vote on the NL
no.
ones, but you can't even vote on all the AL ones?
No, you get Rolaids relief this year. Like, I get Rolaids relief? Like, all right, Chapman.
So dumb. Manager, not
We'll do
Cora.
Our own awards.
I don't know. Like, how do I vote? Like, what do I do?
We'll do our own show awards at the end of the year.
We'll do our own awards.
Team That's, and league?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
American League.
We're going to vote on everything, or do we just assign each other one each?
No, we each get one.
Okay, good.
We each get to do one. And we'll have somebody else come in. And you
Dice,
know,
I'm sure Dice will be up for
Dice
it.
Dice would be
He's
happy to do
He's constantly getting
it.
Left out of stuff. He'll probably text about it. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback. We'll get back into the Patriots coming up as well. But on the way next, it's the return of the madness. Kiefer Madness.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Kiefer, I think it is. Rich Kiefer.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Kiefer?
Where is he?
Where's Kiefer?
Where is Kiefer?
Hey, Kiefer, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
I don't play with lions. I don't play with tigers, bears, nothing with the wild. I don't play with those. I promise you. I don't even do roller coasters. I'm good.
A Delaware County woman is facing multiple charges after she is seen defecating on a car hood.
And there goes the python.
She proceeds to pass gas by placing the camera on her bottom and passing the gas.
All right, here we go. Time for the madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And Jones?
Yeah.
We go out to California for this story, specifically the Bay Area of California. And it is a bit of a creature feature.
Oh,
these good. Have been most of the stories, I feel like.
I like a good creature.
A lot
feature.
Of good creatures out there.
But there's a lot of creatures. Yeah, you
there's
just
a
said
ton
it.
Of creatures.
There's so many creatures. Yep. We should feature them.
I agree.
Yeah.
And so let's find out what's going on out there.
Our residents in one Bay Area neighborhood are on high alert after multiple people were attacked by a wild animal. But
okay, wild animal. So there's the... I already told you it's a creature feature. He's letting you know it's wild. So it's not a dog. Like a house dog or a house cat or fish.
The Bay Area.
Well, okay, so an attack by a wild animal.
Okay, it's too far south for a Sam Squanch Sasquatch.
Not,
that'd
it's not
be,
that.
That'd be the Pacific
I'll
Northwest.
I'll tell you right now, it's not that.
Okay. Maybe a seal? Those things are lying all over. They're lying all over the place.
Oh, my God. You go down to the pier?
Yeah, they're gross.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're just
enormous.
Rolling on each other and pooping everywhere.
They just like
disgusting.
Hog those little those spots down there.
Like, no,
like,
boats can park there.
Nothing.
Yeah, they're all a right. menace. A seal or a sea lion.
Seal or
sea not really
lion.
Sure the difference, but one of those two, yeah.
And there's a lot of differences, actually. But we don't have time in the show.
I'll take both. I'm trying to expand my...
All right, I'll give you two guesses.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
By a wild animal, but it wasn't a coyote or a bobcat.
All right, so it's not a coyote or a bobcat, Nick. I know you were thinking bobcat. Yes, seal's still in play.
Okay, yeah. They didn't rule it out.
They must have a ton of bobcat attacks. He's like, guys, it's not a bobcat.
Definitely not a bobcat. It's not a bobcat.
Okay, all right. So steel and
coyote
still in play.
Yeah, not a coyote.
Not a coyote or a bobcat.
I'll rule out
Sasquatch. If it was New Hampshire, I'd say fisher cat.
Sure.
But we're not
talking about New
Hampshire.
If it was Washington, I'd say Sasquatch.
Okay.
But okay, that's out. Yeah.
It wasn't a coyote or a bobcat.
Phew.
It was a squirrel.
A squirrel. Okay. I mean, I got a dozen of them in my backyard at any given time.
Ermines haven't eaten those yet?
The ermines?
Sick brag, bro.
Sadly, the ermines left.
Oh.
I love those little guys. They were amazing. But
they were big anti-Trump ermines.
They left.
And Rosie O'Donnell. They're like, we're out of here. We're not doing
this
anymore.
So the ermines sadly are gone. Okay. Squirrels, chipmunks, blue jays. I had two giant blue jays hanging out on the back deck today.
I mean, So
they knew that the Red Sox were in town. But,
hang on. Not only are there a lot of creature features, how many squirrel features have we had lately?
Several squirrel features.
The painted squirrels?
Painted squirrels, right.
What?
Was there a rabbit?
What was
squirrel?
The one up in Toronto with like the, they did the homage?
Oh, that was a dead raccoon.
That was a raccoon. I'm sorry. That wasn't a squirrel.
Oh, you're right.
Strike that from the record. So one other squirrel creature feature. Yeah.
No, there definitely was a... Yeah. There was a tax on them, right?
What
is this
what?
One?
3,700 flying squirrels were captured in Florida.
That story
still
was,
less than Charlie Sheen.
That was 5 years old.
less than Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, I was thinking about that again last night.
Oh,
Charlie Sheen.
I was like, nice.
I was like, yeah, nice is right.
Nice.
But then I was trying to think of like the logistics and like what counts. Like, what would even...
We did the math on it. It's 3 a day since he turned 15.
Right.
But it...
Which... I don't want to get too graphic here. People's lunchtime.
You skip a day. You got some work to do.
You're going to play catch up.
Yeah, seriously.
You're playing a little bit of catch up. Yeah. All right, so we have a squirrel attacking people in the Bay Area.
The attacks were so bad, two people had to seek medical attention. Yes, all because of a squirrel. One woman says the squirrel clawed and bit her legs while she was on her morning walk.
Claws and teeth.
Yeah.
Usually maybe one or the other. This thing's going after you.
I don't know how fast this lady's walking, but imagine
if he targeted her. She's an older lady.
Well, imagine if these little fellas got a hold of Alejandro Kirk. He wouldn't have made it.
Wouldn't have made it out alive.
Would have finished.
It's like a land piranha.
No chance. Nibbled him down to the skeleton. Yeah.
Another woman says it tried to jump on her face.
Charlie Sheen? Yeah.
Flyers are now posted alerting residents about the incidents. Neighbors say five people have been attacked, possibly by the same squirrel with a goldish color.
We're looking for a gold?
Goldish?
A gold squirrel?
Is that what they look like?
There's
on the West Coast?
Although, have you ever seen like an all black squirrel?
Yeah, I don't. Look, I don't see color.
I know
when it comes
you
to
don't.
Squirrels.
But,
yeah, I know. So
maybe
I don't,
you should.
No, I
maybe open your eyes up on this.
Yeah, no, there was. We had the Charlestown Chupacabra years ago that was just
a black squirrel.
It was a black
sick
squirrel.
Brag, bro.
Without a tail. Yeah, it was a.
Oh, he was sans tail?
Missing a tail.
That's
and you'd
sad.
Get, you'd get. Well, he was a fighter.
What happened? Somebody took his tail and he just kept going?
Yeah, he just kept going.
Somebody so for their Davy Crockett hat.
Right off.
Say it again?
I think they just pop right off. Like,
they grow tails?
You're
thinking of an iguana.
Those grow squirrels too, I think.
No, squirrels' tails pop off?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was an iguana.
No
a gecko.
Chance.
I don't know.
A squirrel's tail.
Yeah, a squirrel's tail pops right off and then it grows
you're
back.
Definitely thinking of a lizard.
What's a squirrel except for a lizard with fur?
No, that's not true.
No, he makes a good point there. That's a strong, case. Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, squirrel tails just pop off.
What they get in the woods?
There's
zero chance.
No,
right.
It keeps twitching in the street. It throws the predator off.
What you're thinking of is a iguana.
Went to the floor and from the floor tried to jump to my face, which I tried to protect my face from, and then my arm was completely overcome by the squirrel.
I have a lot of questions.
Squirrels' tails de-glove. They don't completely pop off, but it is a defense
they
mechanism.
They de-glove?
Yeah, their fur comes off and they can just run away.
Hopefully Charlie Sheen wasn't de-gloving too much.
Yeah, what was his glove rate? out of 40 cents low.
I don't think he's ever introduced himself to
it's
low.
It's low.
So, this lady was attacked. The squirrel tried, like, basically clawing her eyes out, but she was able to get the squirrel away from her face, but did a lot of damage on her arms. You can actually see it. It's, like, in there.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It looks like when Rosemary woke up that one time, Rosemary's baby, her arms were all, like, scratched up.
Looks like that. It looked like that.
Yeah, she got
I'll take your word for it.
There was another lady that they showed who also went to the ER, and she had, like, one tiny little scratch. We were like, listen, I don't want a victim shame, but she maybe should have saved the people at the hospital at the time. Yeah. This lady needed to go. She got tore up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm from the floor, tried to jump to my face, which I tried to protect my face from, and then my arm was completely overcome by the squirrel. Finally, it jumped off, and by then I was full of blood, and I ran to the emergency room.
Full of blood. Actually, aren't we all?
I was just going to say, I hate to like overanalyze the comment there, but we typically are. Yeah,
we for sure are. But no, it was a massacre.
My gosh, you can see her arm, how badly hurt she was from the squirrel. The aggressive behavior, they say, is likely due to the animal being fed and cared for by humans when it was small. Experts are urging the public to not feed wild animals.
So not to call out our former co-worker Danielle, but maybe quit feeding the squirrels.
Oh, she
would feed squirrels and like take care of squirrels. She would like nurse squirrels back to health, like ones that got in trouble.
Hmm.
But maybe if you release them and they turn into
one whose tail had popped off, she says,
let me nurse it back to health. No, I'm saying, but like she's great with animals, but she would very much highlight these squirrels. And I just don't know if they go back into the wild and if they're attacking old ladies.
Scary.
Yeah, maybe it's scary.
Maybe they hitched a ride out to the west. Maybe it's one of her squirrels. We don't even know.
We don't know.
So I have a different theory than they were being fed.
Inside job somehow?
Well, I think the squirrel just got a taste for human blood.
Yeah.
And now it's
won't
feeding.
Rest.
Yeah, now
won't
it's just, rest. Once you get a taste for it.
Protect my face from, and then my arm was completely overcome by the squirrel. Finally, it jumped off, and by then I was full of blood.
I mean, it's not funny.
Oh, it's a
squirrel
situation.
Attack. Now, how many has it attacked again?
Five.
Five
people and counting. They think it's the same
six.
One.
Seven or eight. Yeah. Good call.
And the next is only a matter of time until it gets the next one. Sinks its teeth in there.
Adam was immediately greeted by his pet squirrel, Joey, when he got home.
Yeah, pet squirrel, Joey. It could have been him, for all we know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
I mean, spoiler alert, this is like a Grizzly Man situation. You let the squirrel come live with you. Next thing you know.
Oh, Grizzly Man.
Lights out.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
The squirrel wanted more than just nuts. If you want to keep up with the so-called attack squirrel, be sure to follow it on Twitter.
Attack
squirrel underscore?
I think it was. That story's from 2019.
Oh, I thought this was more of this new story. That's an old one.
No, those are old ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to find a blind squirrel every now and then.
Those are my squirrel drops.
That's it. Folder is empty now.
That's all the squirrel
stuff. We've played them all.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there anything else from the news or that they were done with
that? They say he was feeding it meth to keep it aggressive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.